Hey, welcome to the Plotcast. Here, we'll tell you the Urban Dictionary definition of the week. Can someone just tell me what docking is? Do we want to use docking as the intro?
So let's actually start off with some audio drama news, because, like, why not? That's what we're supposed to start with.
De facto leader Gus, please continue.
I don't know if I have any audio drama news for this week.
Docking is when a ship pulls up to a harbor and docks.
I'm going to throw you out the window, Ori. I'm going to come to California, take you out of your apartment, and throw you out the window.
Like, of your car, or...
I don't know. We'll choose a
rental?
Building.
No, building.
We'll choose a building.
Okay. I have some audio drama news we can talk about. Tannis, Rabbits, and The Last Movie will be getting new seasons coming in 2019, so they're already way far in production.
And you know what? I saw the Twitter post that today, the Audium Twitter, and I was intrigued. I thought it was a little adventurous that they're all coming out next year.
No, they're coming out this year.
Really?
We're 2019 already, yeah.
Do you know, off the top of your head, when the last season of Tannis ended?
No, I don't know off the top of my head.
Because Rabbits has been some time, correct?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think we might have to revisit both The Last Movie and Rabbits.
Oh yeah, we'll have to revisit in terms of, like, listen to the newest season. Not re-listen as, like, the old seasons.
I do believe, in my heart, that Rabbits and The Last Movie were not bad, in hindsight.
I disagree with The Last Movie. I think there was no point to it. It was incredibly boring. We talked about it. I think Rabbits was pretty good.
I think Rabbits Season 2, I have hope for.
I think Rabbits Season 2 is going to go down the Limetown route and completely, like, ruin everything that we liked about the first season.
No way.
Or what if they get better and we like it?
I'm 100% calling it. I'm 100% calling it. I have no faith in Terry Miles or Pacific Northwest stories to tell these stories.
Let's go shake on it. Terry Miles, I talked shit about you in the past. I believe in you wholeheartedly.
You and I will bet. We will let the fans of this show determine what the stakes will be, but you and I will bet.
You decide.
Okay, 100%. Let's clip this. I'll send it to you. You post it out, and then we'll get a poll, and we'll see what's up.
So yeah, and in other podcasting news, there is a show called White Lies, which is touted to be the newest serial, which is pretty cool.
Really?
Yeah, it's a true crime podcast that we don't usually cover, but, you know, we're fans of pretty much all narrative storytelling podcasts. So yeah, it looks pretty good. I'm gonna have to check it out.
Interesting. Okay. Might have to check it out.
So yeah, what are we talking about today, boys?
We are talking about Gimlet Media Show, The Two Princes.
It's about me and AK.
Oh, cute.
Yeah, we love each other. And,
which one of you is Rupert?
Definitely me.
Obviously AK.
I like that you both agreed on that without talking about it first.
100%. I don't think Ori is Amir, but he would be in this situation. Because I am 100% Rupert. And that's fine. I liked him.
Yeah. All right, so, you know the deal. Classic Plotcast fashion. Ori, tell us what the show's about.
The Two Princes is a fantasy fiction podcast of, well, you guessed it, two princes. But it starts off with Prince Rupert of the West Side, or the Royal West family, trying to get away from his mother and go into this forbidden forest. And when he gets there, he meets Amir, the prince of the east side of the kingdom, and their goal is to...
Wow, Ori.
You know, you start off really strong.
Yeah, I failed there at the end.
You also gave a spoiler away that we're probably going to have to cut out, because that's part of the thing, is that Rupert doesn't know.
It's like five episodes, so basically half.
Five out of seven? Yeah, so they go into the forest to try to fulfill a prophecy, and Rupert doesn't know what it is. So he lies to Amir because Amir is from the east side, and the east side notoriously does not like the west because they were at war with each other. So he lies and says that his name is Fitzroy. Yep. And so It is his dog's name. And so Amir essentially says, like, okay, cool, help me navigate this forest since you supposedly live here. And then Rupert, posing as a thief and a guy living in the woods, tries to take them to the center clearing. They end up getting lost, and it's a pretty good little adventure.
It's cute. It's like a Disney movie.
It is like a Disney movie.
It is. I would actually like to see a movie of this.
Yeah, when I finished it late yesterday, I was like, oh, this is so cute and adorable. This is like a Disney movie. And I love Disney movies, so this was right up my alley.
They didn't have any singing, though, so really disappointed about that.
Honestly, I would have thought that this show would work really well as a musical.
I'm with Gus. I was a little surprised and a little disappointed that there was no musical numbers in the show.
It just seems like it would have them.
I wouldn't say full-on musical.
No, yeah.
I'm just thinking, you know, like, maybe three songs.
Yeah, that's all you need.
Yeah, no, there would be a song in the beginning where Rupert is pouting. Yeah, about being lonely and his mom, hiding him from the world. And then there would be a song
in the middle when they're just on an adventure.
Yeah, and then there would be a song when Joan, the one of the new knights, defies her father and follows her dream.
Wait, I thought her name was Brienne.
That was Joan.
Huh. Weird.
Thrones reference that you wouldn't get, aka because you didn't watch the series.
You know, I was telling Gus yesterday in the other chat podcast discussion that I love the Middle Ages. I think it's so cool. I love magic. I love dragons. I love knights. I basically love everything that Game of Thrones is.
You included sex in that list.
There's sex. There's beautiful women. There's fighting. There's an absurd amount of
there's
death.
Penises.
There's
killing.
A Game of Thrones.
Yeah. So basically everything that I would like is in Game of Thrones. So I should probably watch it.
It's just too meta. It's too meta for you. You can't. You're too hipster.
Too many people are talking about it. And, you know, once I see it on the internet more than 50 times, I immediately.
Hi, my name is AK, and because somebody told me that I would appreciate something, I don't want to watch it.
That's pretty much how it goes.
It's funny because I also like Stranger Things and My Hero Academia. Both are wildly popular.
Well, I wouldn't say wildly.
You watched them before it was cool?
My Hero Academia is definitely more popular than Stranger Things.
It really depends on where you are in the world.
100% it's not.
I guarantee you, I can walk just about anywhere and be like, have you seen Stranger Things? And people be like, oh yeah, or no, I haven't seen it yet, but it looks fun.
But I've heard about it. Yeah.
But if I go in anywhere and go, hey, have you seen My Hero Academia? What the fuck is My Hero Academia?
Remember that quote where he said, I forget who it was, but the creator of anime said anime was a mistake.
That man was an idiot. And we do not speak about him. So I guess we can get right into it. What are some of the things that we liked and I disliked about the show as a whole, Ori?
I liked all the characters. I think they all meshed really well. I liked the storyline and the acting and production, it was all good for me. I felt like there could have been a little bit of more something that's added on to it. And even if that just made it just a longer series, that would have been cool. But all in all, I didn't really feel like it was missing much. I know Gus disagrees with me there.
I do.
He hates everything.
I do agree with you, Ori, and I think we all feel the same way, is that the show was just a little short. Would have loved for it to be just maybe an episode or two longer, because it only took the span of 3 days. That's what they say. So it was a little disappointing on that end.
I like the episode length. I think the episode length is perfect. We've listened to shows that are around this same length.
Completely agree with that. It's just the episode numbers themselves. There's only 7 episodes.
Well, no, yeah, I was including that in the length. Like, the length of the show, I think, was appropriate. I just think there wasn't enough to it. There should have been, I don't know, more to the story. It felt like there needed to be something else included other than the fact that it was just like, okay, this story is about two gay characters.
It just felt a little shallow. A little shallow.
Right, right.
Would love for it to be. And, you know, in true Disney fashion, that's more or less what their movies are.
Yeah.
They're nothing too emotionally deep. They don't really... They touch on some maybe some sensitive topics, but they don't really go anything below scratching the surface, in my opinion. Great movies... Just
let's talk about something though.
What's up?
Do you ever think that Disney would pick up a show like this and turn it into a movie?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's progressive enough for the times for Disney to be like, hey, I mean, this is something that we could do. It's right up their alley. Even the way that the characters talk themselves with their modern day mannerisms is right up Disney's alley. I would not be surprised if I went to the movie 6 months from now and I saw a trailer for The Two Princes. By Disney.
Yep. Animated.
Animated. Yep. 100%. It's, like I said, this is clearly Disney influenced.
But they need some songs.
I think that if this show had songs, it probably would have felt better. Because I think that...
Do you think that would have stepped it up?
Absolutely. I think it would have elevated it to another level to where it's okay that the plot was less deep because it was made up for in the fact that it's a musical.
I can get behind that. I would really appreciate some music. I love the musical numbers in the Disney movies, and that would have just been fantastic.
With all of them clumped together, how long was the show? Like a couple hours, right?
Yeah, the seven about...
Yeah, maybe 2.5 hours.
I think they were all like 25 minutes each around there.
Yeah, something like that. Very short. Perfect length, though.
Yeah, yeah.
They all kept my attention. They were all engaging. The sound effects, I thought, were... Could be a little bare. They were great for what they were doing, but they were a little bare. That was one of the critiques I had about the show, is that while the forest was this all-encompassing setting, it felt that the contents of the forest were a little bit... what did I say?
Scarce?
Yeah, no, the contents of the forest, like the creatures and everything, kind of took precedent over the forest itself, and I was a little disappointed by that.
Do you want more crunching leaf sound?
I wanted the forest to kind of come to life and be its own thing, and it never really felt like that. It, you know, it felt like, you know, one episode.
It did, but it didn't.
Yeah. But still fine. It's the forest. What do you want it to be? Do I really want crunching leaves all the time? Not really.
I actually really loved the sound effects for this. I felt like there were particularly strong parts, like the ship as it's coming down from the sky. And like the sword fighting I thought was really good.
Yeah.
There are sections where you can hear the swords clang like on the left and the right depending on what, you know, if you're wearing headphones. And then there's even that classic sword sound effect where it's like spinning away when somebody knocks it out of their hand, you know?
Yeah. No, even in the car it would switch speakers between left and right, and that was really good.
And because it's such a classic sound effect and like it happens in movies, you could picture it really easily by knowing what that sound is. And I think they really played up that aspect. It literally is like it takes every part of movies that you're familiar with and turns it into an audio experience.
Yes, I completely agree with that.
I envisioned this whole thing as a movie. Like I like as I'm listening to it, I'm just like, you know, picturing this in my head as a movie. And a Disney movie, and it was good. I loved it. I'd watch it again.
Yeah, I would definitely listen to this again. You know, maybe in due time if I was feeling sad or something like that. It really is a nice slice of life love story, more or less.
I also liked the little comedic elements that they included in there, too. I thought the acting was really good, and on some of that comedic timing was, like, perfectly spot on.
Yeah.
Especially with, like, Rupert's mom, you know, not understanding or, like, being aware of what's going on with her son. Like, later on when she wakes up after she faints, and they're just like, she's like, what happened? Why are they doing that?
So in the beginning, Rupert didn't even know how he felt yet. And,
right.
And I don't know. I don't think we really got enough backstory on Amir to see how he was affected. Like if he knew how he felt, or if it was just those two clicked together so well, they both kind of fell into that and learned how they felt of each other.
I really liked the way that they handled it in this show, is that they never really just...
It was really clean.
Yeah, they never really, like, they didn't come out and say something that probably would have been offensive, and they didn't just state, like, oh, Rupert and Amir are gay, you know, like it's just about love.
Yeah.
And I think they handled it really well, especially in the beginning when Rupert is being courted by all of these women. And then I'm blanking on the guy's name, but like the advisor
Chamberlain.
Yeah. The Chamberlain, is just like, you know, this might not be the life for you. And he said that at the time that he was aware how he felt the world wasn't ready for somebody like that. And so he kind of kept it to himself. And
yeah,
I think basing it in this time and like mystical era, really kind of like depressurizes the terminology. I think like, it's not important that they define what's going on between them, because it's just like, he just loves Amir, you know, that's all it is.
Yeah.
I think it's funny, Gus, that you brought up the Chamberlain part, because I actually wrote down that I thought that part was a little creepy, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I didn't really like it. I thought that if you took that part away, personally, and you just got to know Rupert and Amir and their interactions throughout episodes 2 through 7, you would have got the same effect, and you would have felt exactly the same at the ending.
I agree with you, but I think it was there. It was a bit trite, but it was there because they wanted to acknowledge the fact that, like, times are changing, not only in our world, but in the show.
I think that's a good way to look at it, and something I didn't think of until right now.
Boom, pal.
So I got to bring this up. This is something that I really don't like in general, and it's not to say that I didn't like it in the show, but it continues to frustrate me. I really dislike this whole trope of two people meeting, arguing, opening up to one another, and then falling in love all in the span of a few days. It really does bother me. It doesn't feel organic. I understand this is a fiction show, and things that I watch on television or read in books are fiction. But I don't know. Do you guys feel me? It kind of just bothers me how...
Are you trying to say that your life, your love life, has not been negatively affected by Disney movies growing up? Because I know mine has. And, like, I'm not even falling into that princess trope.
It just felt, I don't know, I don't really like it. And if...
You've never fallen in love with somebody in 3 days after arguing with them?
I have.
I think that if they didn't give the whole 3-day time frame, it would have felt much better. But when they did touch on that point, I'm just like, really?
Yeah, I could see it.
Really? Shut up.
But again, I can definitely see it. But it's like it's playing in that whole Disney-esque romance.
Yeah,
you know?
100%.
It feels natural to be in the show and like in the movies, but obviously it's not an accurate representation.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it is. Who knows?
I don't know about that one.
I've fallen in love pretty quickly.
I hope it's with your wife. Oh, by the way, congratulations to Gus. He got married last Friday.
Thank you.
Let's clap it up for Gus and Christina.
I mean, I know Christine and I, like, parts of our relationship, I'm like, is this what love is supposed to be like? And she's like, it's not a fucking Disney movie.
Do you know what love is?
You know.
Nah, you could be the epitome of love. It's actually funny. There's one of my coworkers. We joke about her all the time and her boyfriend being the epitome of love, because they do typical couple things like share.
Oh, yeah.
Or
like share.
Go to the grocery store.
No, I would say that it's definitely had a negative impact on... Like, Disney movies have definitely had a negative impact on how I view, well, maybe rom-coms, too.
Rom-coms really have a bad influence on my...
Yeah, screwed it all up.
Just like, oh, man.
I mean, I wish Amir and Rupert the best of luck, but that's never going to last.
They're 18. Very young. Very young. And they just turned 18. They have the same birthday. I'm going to be honest. Like, come on. The dude, you couldn't have a birthday a few weeks ago? I don't understand.
All right, so overall thoughts about the show. We've kind of nitpicked it a lot more than I thought we would for shows that you guys are saying that you really liked.
I love Disney movies. This is right up my alley. It has some flaws, but ultimately it doesn't really take away from how I felt about it. I really liked it. I got a little bit emotional through it, and I personally really liked the leads, Rupert and Amir. I felt that some of the minor characters could have been maybe touched upon or grown on a little bit, just to give them a little bit more life into their characters and give us a little bit more reason to love them. But other than that, I really enjoyed the show, and I really loved Porridge the dragon.
Oh, Porridge was great. I honestly, same as AK, but I don't feel like I nitpicked anything.
Yeah, I felt the progression and the pacing from episode to episode really made sense. By the way, they got Richard Kind. I don't know if you guys ever saw A Bug's Life. You remember Hopper's brother, Molt?
Yeah.
That was one of the actors, or the bandits, that was with the actor in episode 4. I was like, I knew I recognized his voice.
Oh, dude, that is not at all where I would, like, mention that he's from. He's from so many things. Why did you... Yeah, he's from Scrubs. Why the fuck did you...
I've never seen Scrubs, so...
Whoa!
You pick out somebody from A Bug's Life? Like, 15-year-old movie?
I love that movie.
When's the last time you watched it? 15 years ago?
It was on ABC Family, or Freeform now, a couple months ago, so probably then.
I recently rewatched all of Scrubs. Ori is rewatching Scrubs right now, so like...
Yeah. Ori, just touching your point for a second when it comes to the musical numbers, there's not a doubt in my mind that if the Two Princes becomes popular enough, they'll release like an hour and a half special episode with them in present day with a similar plot, but it'll be like a musical number. That's what I think might happen.
I don't think they're going to do that, but it would be cool.
Would be cool.
I think they should go back and insert some songs.
I mean, it honestly, it wouldn't ruin anything.
No. I honestly am very surprised that I am recommending adding music to this show.
Yeah, Gus hates music.
I'm not a fan of musicals, usually.
Yeah, but if you do it right and the song works,
there are some good ones like Sweeney Todd.
Wow. What a reference. Well done.
AK
hasn't seen it.
I have not.
Of course he hasn't. Are you kidding me? Anyway, let's get into some spoiler time about the ending of the show. Other than that, obviously we recommend it. It's a Gimlet production. It's fantastic. Check it out if you're not going to. Feel free to listen to Spoiler Time, or if you've already listened to it, here we go.
Spoiler time, spoiler time. If you don't want to hear it, pause this now. Pause it. Don't go any further. No. Don't you... Oh, well, fine. You did it. Idiot.
Oh, yeah. So, something that I did want to bring up is that they never actually made a kissing noise, which is really funny, because you guys remember our conversation with Uncanny County?
Yeah.
How they said that kissing noises are one of the most gross things you can hear?
It's kind of true. I mean, what's the... randomly forgetting names of shows... No. Anyways, that one show where those
Steal the Stars.
Yes, that's exactly what it was. That show and its kissing sounds and other noises was pretty high up there on, wow, I can't believe they went that far with that one. But, I mean, it was still a great show.
The massive amount of sex noises.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I honestly, I thought that was a little strange. They were like, oh, kiss me, and then it was just kind of silent. I was like,
yeah,
kiss me, you fools!
I mean, obviously, I got the point, but I don't know. I thought it was a little strange that there was no sound.
Maybe it was nothing at all. Innocent, you know, regular lip kiss that didn't have any tongue to it. I mean, they were both...
They were saying they were lip wrestling, I think, is one of the terms.
Oh, that was the joke. Yeah, that was the joke.
Okay. All right. That's right. Sorry. Yeah. Never mind me.
So the ending plot to this is, like, it's very formulaic. It's nothing that's going to surprise you.
Yep.
They turn out that, you know, they have to kill each other to fulfill the prophecy. I guess the surprising thing would be that both of their dads were still alive and they were the forest, or like they were a tree in the middle of the forest.
Yeah, it was a little strange.
Turned to wood and then magically, so they were cursed along with this curse of the forest and their kingdoms that's just outgrowing, trying to destroy both west and east sides of this, you know, land. And this the whole forest is just growing and growing and growing, and they were the magical things that were able to control it and make it attack people or what have you.
Right. And so they discover, Rupert and Amir discover and agree that even though they are supposed to kill each other, they're still going to travel together because they need to keep each other alive or the prophecy won't be able to be fulfilled. They go to the center and, you know, their dads are there and they're cheering them on to kill each other. And at first they refuse, and then, of course, their mothers show up and they get captured, and essentially the dads are about to kill the moms if one of them doesn't fight the other one. And so Amir and Rupert decide to fight. Rupert is not as skilled as Amir, and then he ends up getting his sword knocked out of his hand, and Amir is about to kill him reluctantly when he says, Rupert essentially says that it's okay, that he loves him.
And then the prophecy comes true. Oh man, I'm blanking on the fucking prophecy.
When one kingdom rises from the forest, then the prophecy or the curse is lifted.
Basically. You're right. And because they're in love and they want to get married, they're now a united kingdom.
What were they going to call the kingdom again? Oh, damn it. I forgot.
Isn't it like Hollow Heart or something like that?
It's something heart, but it's... Oh, man.
Is it East Westia?
It's very corny.
East Westia. It's very corny and lovey-dovey and, like, castle something heart. I forget. But it was so funny. But I do want to see how that castle comes to be and that land, because apparently it was a very beautiful area. And
I don't think there's going to be a season 2 to this. I don't think there's going to be any additional content. I think Gimlet produced it, and they're trying to option it as a movie.
Would really love for it, like I'm saying, 1 hour musical special. 1 hour and a half would be really good.
Do it.
But, Gus, to quickly touch upon one of your points, I just wanted to say that it frustrated me a little bit when it came to the mother section and how they were captured. I like that part because it was a really powerful moment for both of the women to kind of just tell their husbands how shitty they were.
Oh, yeah, it was a good moment.
But then ultimately it transpired into something kind of basic where they became essentially damsels in distress and they had to be saved by the male leads.
Yeah.
So I felt that was essentially a really powerful moment kind of transpired into something a little basic and ultimately
it like undermined itself.
Yeah, a little disappointing.
Yeah, but there's also, you gotta remember, the hundreds of women stepped up to fly this ship where they only needed 50 guys to do this, 50 strong able-bodied men, and then they needed the 100 women, but they also have Joan,
Brienne,
the female knight that was a total badass and beat this dude in a competition that has never been beat by any other man. So there was a lot of things swinging around everywhere with those stereotypes and tropes.
The Joan part was great.
I would have really loved to have seen more of that or like expand upon it. I don't think it fully realized all that it could have. And she was kind of useless after they got there, you know?
Oh, 100%. She didn't do anything.
Which is sad, because it built up like it was going to be important, and I really wanted her to prove herself.
Still love you, John.
I mean, she gave a sweet-ass speech to get all those women to fight in the forest.
Yeah, but then at the ending, Joan says something like, "We did it! Good job, everybody!" And then the mom is like, "Yeah, great job! You did it!" So, I don't know. It was interesting.
It was interesting.
It navigated the politics really well, I think, but there are definitely some things that you could put under a spotlight and be like, I don't know.
But that's okay.
Anyway, something that was like really weird to me was that Rupert's dad had like all these mystical sound effects and like groaning and magic evilness to his voice, and then Amir's dad just sounded like a normal dude.
He did sound like a normal dude.
I actually, at first when we heard them,
it threw me off.
I thought that Amir's dad was the mystical sounding one, because the mother, she had that more depth and her accent, more depth, and yeah, so it really threw me off when either father was the different father.
Yeah. I was like, wait a minute, what? Why does this dude sound like an evil tree, and the other dude sounds like he's just kind of hanging out next to an evil tree?
Yeah, that was a little strange. Strange. They were not as interesting as I wanted them to be. They were just pretty much the epitome of evil.
Yeah.
A couple of jackasses. I wonder what they talked about for 18 years being trees.
Yeah. It was probably a lot of, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you more.
My son is going to kick your son's ass when this prophecy gets here.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah,
that.
The other cool thing that I think we should bring up is that the prophecy wasn't that Emir or Rupert would rule. It was that their father would come back and rule.
Oh, yeah.
That's really what kind of pushed the whole thing, is like one dad is going to be released, and then nobody wanted them to be released because they were awful.
Yeah, they sucked like a lot. They didn't get them birthday present. They didn't even say happy birthday. It was their birthday that day. They didn't say happy birthday.
They said kill him. And
they did. They said kill him.
And kill him.
And then Rupert's dad told him to get up and to not die so easily.
Yeah.
I did like, so when those two did finally kiss after they turned 18 and all the things, I did like that. Are they lip rustling? What is... I think lip wrestling's a thing. Do you think lip wrestling's a thing?
There were some good jokes in it. Rupert's character was particularly funny throughout the entire thing, which I liked.
I thought Emir was a little bit more relatable in some aspects than Rupert, but...
Yeah, 100%. He's supposed to be. I can't get over the thought of how much better this show would be if it was a musical. I hate you guys for saying that now.
Oh, come on, Gus. It only makes sense.
I'm so
But
happy.
Like when Emir stormed off after he realized who Rupert actually was,
song.
It should have had a really sad song from Rupert. It would have been so good.
There would have been, I probably could say, like, you probably could squeeze in probably 7 or 8 songs.
I would say, yeah, around 5 or 6.
Maybe. I can picture where each song would be.
Me too, but I wouldn't want one in every episode. I would want one, like, we talked about it, yeah.
So, yeah. So Gimlet, sign over the rights to Disney. I'll go
the
watch the movie.
They're 100% optioning this for a movie. Gimlet has their own department that's in charge of optioning podcasts as movies.
Fancy.
Well, this is perfect. Even DreamWorks, as long as it's a musical. That'd be cool. Cool. Do you boys have any final thoughts about the show, you know, that you want to tell? Any comments, anything that you particularly loved?
Oh, I actually really liked the scene transitions in this. I thought they handled it better than a lot of other shows that we've heard. They did kind of like a sound effects fade out underneath of transition music that was like that, you know, typical kind of medieval sounding festival style music. And the transitions were really well, because there were a bunch of scene breaks, but none of them felt jarring.
I completely agree.
I actually used it as an example today when I was talking to somebody about how they should transition scenes, so that's why that was fresh in my mind.
Awesome. Well, Two Princes, kudos to you.
You with the kudos.
So next week, we're going to be talking about Moonbase Theta Out.
What an interesting name.
Yeah, I was confused about the name until I listened to it, and then I'm like, oh, it makes a lot of sense, and I really like it now.
And we are going back to Gus's favorite setting, space.
Space!
And we all know how much Gus loves space.
And Ori already listened to part of the show. I finished it. So, like, he knows what we're going to be talking about next week. It's going to be a good episode, and you guys are going to be surprised, I think.
Cool. I'm really excited for the show. I'm probably going to give it a listen tomorrow, because it's so short.
It's a good listen. Hour and 42 minutes, so anybody who wants to listen along with us for our review the week after this, feel free to check it out, and we will talk about it shortly.
Cool. Well, I guess with that being said, my name is AK the Extraordinaire, and we will catch you guys next week.
Goodbye from the Plotcast. That's all I got.
No, with AK and Grumpy Gus.
With AK and Grumpy Gus. Hey there, my name is Ori. Goodbye.
Plotcast out. Oh, hello there. I guess since you're here and we've stopped talking, that means the episode is over, and I should probably start doing the outro. The Plotcast was brought to you by us. Seriously. We don't have an advertiser, and we've been working hard to kind of keep it ad-free and to not have to sell you guys any Bomba socks or a website you don't really need. So if you could do us a favor, just share this show with someone who you think would enjoy it. Or go check out one of our other shows, such as How I Died, a murder mystery audio drama that we've been working on for a really long time. Or leave us a review on iTunes and all that good stuff. Now it's time for the credits. Our intro and outro music is from Nishkam Joshi on SoundCloud. And special thanks to our buddy Silent Mike Music for putting together our Spoiler Time song with lyrics from Shayna Waring. Check him out at silentmikemusic.com. And I think that's it. Cool. Thank you guys for listening and hope you enjoyed the Plotcast.